we get to also start a new series called YOLO. No, just kidding. It's NOLO. But we really should have named it YOLO because that would have been so much cooler. But NOLO. Last week we wrapped up. Yes, we did wrap up Hebrews. Thank you, wife. Who knows what the topic of last week or the past month and a half was? Covenant. Yeah, I was trying to mouth it for you guys. Covenant. Remember better covenants, right? We talked about like what God's covenant meant for us. We talked about the tabernacle. We talked about how Jesus is the new covenant. Does it ring any bells? I'll excuse y'all who's the first time. That's cool. It's the first time. So that's new news to you. But last week we also talked about, right, Jesus is our security. And out of the security, we get this ability to connect with other people and have no shame of our past. We don't have to worry about the things that are our hidden sins. We don't have to worry about what other people think of us because we are found in his security. Right? Right. So we get this ability to connect with people and we get to even bridge gaps with people who may not want to talk to us because of we're all sinners. We all fall short. We all are not perfect. And there is no shame, no condemnation in sharing about what troubles you have, where you fall short, what struggles you are going through, you know, to connect better with those around you, to give a place for people to feel welcome, to give a place for people to feel like they're accepted, they're loved, they're belonged. Yes, that is so good. I'm sorry, I'm not going to catch my breath. It's kind of warm in here. I'm not used to this weather anymore. So this series we're going to embark on, it's called No One Left Out. I was going to ask you to guess what it meant first, but I just said it. It means no one left out. You get what that means? No one left out. That means everyone is here, right? Everyone's welcome. No one is left behind. Everyone's included. Everyone is part of the group. Everyone's part of the family. And we're going to embark on this series for the next few weeks. I get the honor of starting it off. And we're going to talk about the invitation. Dun, dun, dun. It's very dramatic sounding, I know. Before we keep going, we are going to pick apart some scripture for the basis of our next few weeks about our No One Left Out series. I got to turn this bad boy on. All right, cool. We're going to read from Luke 14, 16 through 24. I didn't even introduce. I'll do that after we read the scripture. So Luke 14, 16 to 24. Let's read together. Verse 16, it says, Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still, another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come. Story of my life.'" That wasn't in the Bible. That was my interpretation. "The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" I'm just kidding. I love my wife. I love being married. Yes, she loves me too. She loves me too. I didn't introduce myself. So my name is Josh. I have to tell you guys. My name is Josh. Hi, guys. I would love to meet you guys after service for those of you who are first, even if I've never met you before. My name is Josh. I live in Hayward. It's about, 40-ish minutes from here. I am married, no kids, no dogs, no cats. I've been working, what? Huh? I've been working. I work as a software engineer at Workday. I like long walks on the beach. I like food. I'm a Lakers fan. Go Lakers! Go Lakers! I know I'm in rival territory, but Laker fans are like international. We're everywhere. I'll tell you more about me as we go through our stories. But this is our scripture for today. What do you get from this first part of scripture? Right? If we read through this scripture, what's the first thing that comes out? What's the very first? I'm one of those guys that I like when you talk back, when we have a conversation a little bit. Except when I'm explicitly talking, then don't talk. No, I'm just kidding. But I like when we have a conversation. It's cool to talk back. You know, you get to interact. What is the first thing that you get there? It's a what is it? What is this? It's a party. It's a banquet. Did you read that? Like, I think it's the seventh word, eighth word in it. It's a great banquet. It's a party. And there's many people that are coming. Then what happens? People are like, don't you hate it when you have this party and then people like give you like, I'm going. And the day of, they're like, yeah, something came up. I can't come. They flake. They have other things come up. I remember when we had our wedding, right? You know, weddings are a big thing because, you know, there's a lot of planning. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of energy that goes into it. And then you invite your people. You invite them that want to come. And they click RSVP. And then, like, the day of, the morning of, they're like, yo, I'm not bad. Something came up. I can't come. Or whatever. And then that's what happens here. Like, they got this great banquet. They have this great party that Jesus is explaining that they've this banquet that's been prepared. Like, banquets are super bougie extra parties, if you don't know what a banquet is. Think of, like, high-end lobster, caviar, you name it. Like, it's super nice, super cool. And Jesus invites these people. And then this guy's like, yo, I just bought oxen. I can't come. I mean, like, what is that? Like, he buys oxen and suddenly he can't come? I don't know. That seems like a total bailout. It's like, my bad, bro. My car broke down along the way. I don't know. Something like that. My oxen broke down. And then another guy's like, I just got married. I can't come. That's like my favorite excuse when someone asks me to go out. I'm like, yeah, I'm married. I just go like Luke 14:20, and they have to look that up, what that means. And that means I can't come. I can't come hang out. But like these guys, they're making excuses. They're like, I can't come to this party that I'm invited to, this great banquet. Then the host of the party gets mad, right? Jesus is like, yo, what's going on? I invited you. I asked for these people to come and they're not coming. They're too busy with their own lives. They're too busy with the things that they feel are more important. Then he's like, you know what? Let's invite everybody else. And then he goes and like bring the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. And then they come and they join the party. And then there's still room. There's still more room. Jesus is like, let's bring everybody in. So what I get from reading the scripture is that sometimes we have this idea of God and that he's super serious. He's no fun. He's like, boom, thunder, you're dead. You know, if you read the Old Testament, right, there's a lot of that, like, oh, I don't like you, boom, lightning, plagues. You know, there's sometimes this connotation we have that God's no fun, that God isn't full of this, like, yeah, happy, merriment kind of feeling. But if we read a lot, you know, we can see that, like, here, that God's inviting us to a great banquet. And banquets are fun. They're super cool to go to, got good food. Even read in John 2, you know, God, Jesus performed his very first miracle where? Wedding, right? Wedding party, right? You know what he did? This is what he did. Jesus changed water to wine at a wedding. That was the very first thing. You know why he did it at a wedding? Because people who are married need miracles in their lives. Just kidding. Married, being married is cool. But we do need miracles. We do need miracles in our lives because marriage is an exciting journey. But Jesus, I feel, performed it at a wedding because, like, this is my coming out party. I'm gonna get so lit in this place. I found a really cool meme, but I felt like it wasn't church PC, so I couldn't use it. But I just know I had a really cool meme to fit in here. Jesus turned water into wine. That was his very first miracle. It was at a wedding of all places. I interpret that as like Jesus likes to have a good time. He likes to have a celebration. He likes to have joyful occasions. He likes to have parties where we're invited and we're welcomed and we can celebrate together. Do you guys get that or is that just me? Yeah, right? Yeah. So we're going to keep reading here. And we're gonna take this story apart a little more. If we keep reading in the story, it all starts by God's invitation to all of us. You know, his expression of love to be together with us. Right? God invites, he went out, he invited the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, and then he invites like everyone else down the road, even further out. He wants all of us to come into his party, his banquet, his celebration, his gathering. That we are invited. When you go to a party, what do you expect to have at the party? Food. I don't know, that's like the very, if the food is not good, it's not a good party. That's how I interpret it, right? If the food is not, if not off the hook, it is not a good party. I expect good food. What else do you expect when you go to a party? Good music, people, entertainment. You get to hang out with people, right? You have good relationships. You get to meet people. You have a joyous time. You're celebrating something. Usually, I've noticed in my season of life that most of the parties I get invited to are kids' birthday parties. And yeah, that's my life now. You know, it used to be like, dude, let's go to. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I don't have a very fun party life, but all my parties now are kids' birthday parties, and we go to Chuck E. Cheese. We have a pool party. We have fun. But those, when you go to a party, right, you expect good things. You expect food, relationship, community with those around you. So just like today, you know, spiritually speaking, God invites us. He's inviting us into his presence. He's inviting us into this place. The food that's at the party, there's spiritual food to be fed. You know why? Because do you know the Sunday service we are in right now, the Sunday gathering, it is a banquet. It is a party. It is a celebration. Did you know that? Yeah, did you know that? That you don't go to church to be bored by a sermon. You don't go to church to be like sitting in a pew when it's like 9 degrees in here and you're just sweating. But you come to church to celebrate the goodness of God together with your fellow brothers and sisters. You come together to lift his name on high, to sing together, to worship together, to build community together, to have a great time. Yeah, right? This is why we come to church together. This is why we congregate. Sometimes our attitude is, oh man, I just got to go to church because it's what I do. I was raised this way. I was grown up this way. I have to go to church because my parents took me to church. I go to church because I don't know why I go to church. It's because I feel like I have to go. But no, we have this privilege and honor to go to church to celebrate with those brothers and sisters, to celebrate with the party, to feel invited, that you are welcomed and invited in this place. Sunday is a great time to celebrate with one another, to rejoice of the victories, or to encourage one another with those who have had a harder week, or to mourn with those who are in that season of life, that we come together as a body, and we gather and we party. We party hardy. God is inviting you. God is inviting you to his banquet. He's inviting you to this, I'm metaphorically speaking, this Sunday service is a banquet, right? There's food. There's this spiritual food you have. There are these people that are here with you that you can commune, you can connect with, you can have a good time with, you can grow with, you can hang out. After this, we can, I don't know, what do you guys do after church normally? Eat. Okay, see, we're going to eat physical food. This is the spiritual part. Then after this, we get the physical food part. When I was in L.A. before, in what we used to do, I used to be a youth leader down there. So I used to hang out with a bunch of the high school kids. And high school kids, to keep them engaged, you have to have a lot of like physical activities, a lot of things that like get their energy burned off and all that kind of stuff. So what we used to do is we went to a park near church, and we used to do. Have you guys ever played kickball? Do you guys know what kickball is? Kickball. Yeah, you kind of know. Maybe it's an American sport. I don't know, maybe it's an American sport. So what kickball is? Okay, do you know what baseball is? Yes, right. Baseball, more or less. So kickball is this sport where you're playing on the baseball field as well, but instead of baseball, you have like a bouncy ball, a jelly ball, and you the pitcher pitches it, and the guy kicks it, the ball goes out, and then you run. Similar concept as baseball, but it's with the jelly ball instead of a bat and ball. And we used to play this a lot. And that's what we used to do as after church, we got our spiritual food, we hung out, we played kickball, we got tired, I got beat by young kids because I was old back then and I'm still old now. So it's a fun time to get together. Sunday, I love Sundays because we get together with the body of God, we have a joyful time, we commune with our community. Amen? Amen. So, has anyone ever crashed a party before? Yeah. I've crashed a party. Am I the only one who crashed a party? Yeah, some of y'all are goody two shoes. You don't like crashing parties. I hear in Indonesia it's easy to crash like a wedding, right? Because apparently like weddings are like 2,000 people, and then you can just like blend in and walk in, eat the food, and leave. That's what I hear. Here is kind of hard because weddings are like 100 people, and everyone kind of like you can recognize who's who and whatnot. But crashing parties, this is my meme for that. So there is this article I read that talks about this person who's what they call a professional party crasher. Like his thing is he likes to try to crash these high-end celebrity parties, like the Oscars, the Emmys, famous people's weddings, inauguration balls. He likes to try to get into these places, and he talked about what techniques he had to do to get in. Like he said, first, you got to dress the part. You got to make sure you're in your matching attire. Like if it's a black tie event, black tie, you got to wear black tie. And he said, you got to have a backstory. So like let's say you go to a wedding and they're like, oh, hi, like who do you know? And then you kind of got to gauge, is this person with the bride or the groom side? And you kind of got to guess, like I think they're with the bride. So then like, oh, I'm with the groom side. And you make up this elaborate story. Yeah, we went to high school together. And so you have to have this backstory. And then he was sharing when security approaches you for, he's actually gotten into the Oscars. He's gotten into the Emmys. He was at Obama's inauguration ball. He was at, I forget, some other celebrity's wedding. But he's able to get into these places, and he was sharing all about it. And he's like, you gotta also, his third rule was blend in. That means like, don't try to catch the bouquet. Don't be the center of the dance floor. Kind of just walk casually, fit in with all these people. His fourth rule was be confident. You gotta feel like you belong. That like, yeah, I was invited. I was welcomed here. What I get from this is crashing a party is really difficult. It's a lot of work, right? It's hard. You don't want to get caught. The party I crashed, it wasn't that bad because it was my friend's birthday party, so it wasn't like super high end security or anything. But you still feel a little awkward. But I can only imagine if you're crashing a party that like the Emmys, like dude, they have like tight security. It's a lot of work. You're always anxious as well. You're worried about getting caught. What this means for me is that it is a privilege to be invited. Right? It's a privilege to be invited into a place. It's a privilege to get that invitation. Have you ever had those friends like in grade school or whatever, and like Bobby's the popular kid and you want to be invited to Bobby's party, right? And you didn't get invited. Does that ever happen to anyone? Or was I the only loser in grade school that didn't get the party? It's okay. I'm cool. That's cool. I'm a little less of a loser now, so it's all right. I feel better. But right, they have those times when you want to get invited to these parties and you just don't. like, you know, like, oh, dude, they're getting married. I hope I get an invitation. And there's actually this funny story. My buddy, I was one of his groomsmen in his wedding, and he got married this past March. Actually, he got married on my birthday, so that was pretty cool. I told everyone at the wedding, this is for my birthday. Thank you for coming. But it was really their wedding, but they got married on my birthday. And he was telling me that when they were planning the wedding, there was this one kid at the church, and he just straight up walked up to him. He's like, hey, so when's my wedding invitation coming? And he wasn't planning to invite him. And so he just had this look like, yeah, you gotta talk with Jess. You gotta talk with the bride. She's the one in charge of wedding invitations. But it's really awkward, right? It's really awkward when you ask someone, hey, where's my invitation? It's really awkward when you ask that, but then it's even more awkward when you ask and you don't get invited, right? There's that feeling like, it's just, whew. But I hope you can relate and understand that it's a privilege to be invited. It's a privilege to be wanted to go to this banquet. It's a privilege to be wanted to go. And not everyone is always invited, but the beauty of this is that our God is the total opposite of this. Our God is he wants everyone invited. And what he's throwing, he's not throwing the cheap, we're going to the park, and there's like a birthday cake and a pizza party. No, 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 no. He's going for like, not to say that's a bad birthday party. Those are really good birthday parties. Hope no one's offended. But he's not throwing like this low. He's throwing this like Met Gala with an LED wall, with lights, with bougie caviar and lobster and a chocolate fountain. He's throwing the event of the year. And he's inviting every single one of you to go. He's inviting you, maybe not you. No, just kidding. You're invited too, Ronald. But he's inviting everybody to go. Tell your neighbor you're invited. You're invited. You're invited. Feel welcomed. You are invited. So what can we learn if we dig a little deeper into the scripture, we read the scripture a little more, what can we learn about God inviting us? The first thing that I felt is that this is the initiative of God, right? He's the one throwing the party. He's the one inviting you. He's the one who paid the price. He's paying for the tables, the food, the entertainment. He paid with his son. He paid by putting his son on the cross for me, for you, for everyone. He's inviting all of us. He did all of the hard work. You get that? He, Jesus and God did all of the hard work. All we have to do is come. Right? There are the people who were invited and they didn't make time for the event. Right? The entire party's planned out. He set this great spread and they're like, my oxen. I just bought ox. I can't go. Right? Like, dude, this guy's throwing the event of the year. God paid the ultimate price with his son to cover all our sins, and he's inviting all of us, and you're too busy with, I'm too busy, I gotta study, I can't make that Sunday service, that hour and a half, but Netflix, I can dig 2 hours into that, easy, right? God is making this invitation, but are we too busy to go? The other part, the host thinks you are worthy to come. Tell your neighbor, you are worthy. Right? If we go back and read, he invites those who are poor, crippled, blind, lame. If we look back to the Old Testament, all those people, the ones who are living on the side of the streets, the poor, the crippled, the lame, they are considered like not even citizens. They're second class, third class citizens, that people cast them aside, that they don't care about them. That there isn't a second thought for those kind of people. But he's inviting them to the banquet. He's inviting me. Me, I'm the worst of the worst. I'm nobody. I'm not worthy. But yet God is inviting me. Y'all are worthy. Y'all can come. I'm just talking about myself, that who's not worthy. But y'all are worthy. You guys can come. Y'all perfect. But the truth of the matter is, we aren't worthy. We are those poor, crippled, blind, lame, that we don't deserve to come to this banquet. We are not worthy to come because of what we did. Maybe because of the things we did in the past. We feel we're not worthy because of our hidden sin, because of our immoral choices from yesterday, from last week, from last month. Maybe some of us come from non-Christian families and you feel condemned that you go to church. You feel condemned that oh, you're a Christian now. That makes you feel not worthy to come. Maybe because you just messed up last night and you're like, oh, I don't feel like I'm worthy to go to church tomorrow. I don't feel like I'm worthy to walk into this place, into the celebration. But I got news for you. You are worthy. And that God is inviting you to come. God is inviting you into this place. Because Christ died so that we can come to the banquet. Do you get that? Christ died so we can come to this banquet, to this table, and that we are invited into this place. How good God is. I feel not qualified, not worthy at all to be invited, but because of God, I am, and I can, and I am worthy because of Him. The openness of God, right? We talked about it. Everybody, everyone is invited. Everyone in this place is invited. Everyone outside of this place is invited into the banquet, is invited to God's presence, is invited into the family, into the community. You know, IFGF Pinole, one of, I believe, their strong roots, strong points is our community. I believe the community that you can form, that you have here, is a community that loves, embraces, wants you here, wants you to be a part of the family, walks with you, talks with you, cries with you, laughs, joys, right? This all happens at this banquet. This all happens here in this community that God has given to us. God is not a host who just comes to the party and then leaves and goes, bye guys, you're on your own. But He's the type to come and sit with you and eat with you, spend time with you. Have you ever been to a party? Have you ever been to an event where you feel totally alone, where you just kind of, you're like, oh, I don't know anyone, I don't feel comfortable. Then you pull out your cell phone all slyly, then you pretend to text someone, or you open up your Instagram and start scrolling because you don't want to look like that awkward kid who doesn't know anybody, who doesn't belong, right? Just me? Yeah, that was me. Yeah, I was like, pull up my phone and just pretend to text, and you text your mom, like you're super cool, like, hey, mom, But God is the type who wants to hang out with you. You're the lame kid. No, I'm just kidding. I'm lame. But you're the kid in the corner and God wants to hang out. He wants to eat with you. He wants to sit with you. He wants to be with you. That God wants a relationship with each and every one of us here. And that just blows my mind, because who wants to hang out with me, right? I'm not worthy. I'm just a nobody that just came because I got lucky and got invited. But God wants to hang out with you. And this is super extra because He loves you. I don't know any parties that I go to and they're like, I love you, come. Well, I mean, you know, family parties and stuff, but if these are just like random people and they invite you to the, if the Oscar people invited you, they're not going to be, I love you, you need to come. No, but God loves you. Listen to that. God loves you and He wants to come. You are my people and I am your God. And He opens up to have a relationship with you. When you come to the table, when you accept His invitation, right? God has done all the hard work. He's set everything up. He's created the place. He's created the space. He's made it so you can get on that A-list and go. You just have to come. And He wants a relationship. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be with you. Even for all of us sinners, all of us people who don't qualify, He already loves you. You. He already loves you. The next thing is there is an abundanceness of God. If we looked at verse, if we go back to verse 23, it speaks of there is still room. Right? If you look around you, these chairs, isn't there still room? Right? Man, no one likes to sit in the front row. This is like the splash zone. When I talk, I spit. And it's like SeaWorld. Like, no one wants to sit in the front zone. But there is still room, right? There's still open chairs. God wants more people to come. So you know what happens is, you know, you got that invitation, you got that invite. You know, you can forward that invite to other people so that they also come and they also get to eat with us. They also get to have fun with us. They get to have joy, party. They get to be a part of this community. They get to be a part of this party. So as you feel welcomed, as you feel welcomed in the place, and because God has made that place welcome, make others feel welcome too. Fill these chairs with those who don't know Christ yet. Fill these chairs with those who know Christ but maybe don't have a home, a place they can call their church. Fill it. There is still plenty of room. How do we respond to this kind of God? What do we do? Right? We talked about it. There's an invitation. There's a call that he wants you to come. There's a desire that he wants to have a relation with you. There is a desire that he wants to know you more, to build a relationship. I talked about last week, community, right? A little bit, I touched base. Church is a community of God, and that we all are in this together. We all want to love on one another. We all want to create a place where we can feel welcome, we can feel loved, we can build relationships. But in order to do that, you have to understand that God is the one who's inviting you. God is the one who's calling you here, and you have to accept. You have to come as you are. You have to come open. You have to come with a readiness to sometimes have situations, sometimes have arguments, sometimes have disagreements with people in this place because we're all human. We all sin. We all are not perfect. But at the heart of it, we have to love one another as Christ loved us, as Christ invited us first, as Christ found us not worthy, as Christ knows we aren't worthy, but we are found worthy in him. You must do the same for those around you. I'm going to invite the musicians to come forward as we're gonna close in a few minutes. Will you say yes to God's invitation? Will you say yes to be part of his community, to be welcomed in his banquet, to enjoy good food? We're an Asian church, man. There is good food here. I've been part of an American church. There is not good food there. But here, there is good food. I can witness. I have a living testimony of this. I have a living testimony, as you can tell. But I like food, and this is good food here, spiritual and physical food. He is inviting you to abundance life. He is inviting you to be a part of this family, this community, that we gather as a joyful occasion to come in this place on Sunday, to celebrate with one another, to come together. He is inviting you to be fruitful, to grow, to know him more. He's inviting you to discover your purpose. Some of us don't know what we're called to do. Some of us don't know, why am I going to school here? Why am I coming this Sunday? Why am I even here? I want to let you know that God is calling you because he wants to give you purpose. He wants to give you a destiny. He wants to give you something you can take and run and go with. He's inviting you to discover and learn the goodness that he has in you, and your, that he has planned for your life, that he has planned for everything that you're going to do. I want you to close your eyes with me. Father, we thank you for your invitation. We thank you for calling us into this place to come. For some of us, it may be our first time in this place. For others, maybe the second, the third week. For some of us, it may be infinity. We've been here forever. We thank you for your invitation into this place. We thank you for calling us into the community. Even though we sin, even though we fall, even though we failed, you still welcome us in this place. You still want us to come. You paid the price. You paid everything for us. All you want is for us to come, for us to have a relationship. You just want to sit and eat and spend time with us. Father, I pray that we open our hearts to you. We open our hearts to accept your invitation, to accept your call, to accept you pulling us into this place, to accept you pulling on our hearts to come to you, to know you more. And then from there, I pray as you work in us, as you make us more like you, as you continue to grow us, that we can do the same for others. That we can welcome this in this place, as we can welcome new faces, we can welcome new friends, that we really can fill this house up. For as we were saved by you, we want others to be saved by you as well, God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your invitation. We want to give all glory, all honor, and everything into your hands. In your name we pray. Amen.